Donut Company is delivered by TriStar Moving 1025 1063. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to Superbook Sports. Live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios on a Fireball Hot Take Friday at Super Bowl 57 Radio Row. Our coverage, of course, presented by Social Furniture. Tony Khan, co-owner of the Jacksonville Jags. He's technically the chief football strategist. His dad's the owner. But he will join us in just a little bit. Adoree Jackson, former Titans DB, will join us on the program. So we are absolutely loaded this hour. So I did see this come up during the week. And I do feel the need to at least give my take, which is, I think I'm still torn as to who I think's going to win. I think I'm leaning Eagles, though, over the Chiefs. And one of the reasons that I'm leaning the Eagles over the Chiefs is because I think they have a more complete team. I think the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, and then a bunch of average. You know, like Nick Bolton, the middle linebacker, and Orlando Brown, the left tackle, is going to get paid an exorbitant amount of money. But the rest of the guys on the Chiefs are just Juju Smith-Schuster and Noah Gray, and an injured Mecole Hardman who's not going to play this week. They're just guys. Mahomes, special. Absolutely special. The other guys, we'll see. Kelce's a Hall of Famer, probably one of the greatest tight ends who ever played, and I'll give you. If you want to go with the back half of it, I'll give you Chris Jones. Then in big moments, there is nobody who is bigger. There is nobody who is badder. There is nobody who is nearly as good as he is. So I'll get with that. You know, Aaron Donald is, but he kind of tailed off after he got paid. And I don't think Simmons is as good as Chris Jones. But if Jalen Hurts wins the Super Bowl, if Jalen Hurts is Super Bowl MVP, which is almost, it's not always what ends up happening, but it is the de facto this guy was the quarterback of the team that won. If there isn't a guy that just ran away with the game, they give the Super Bowl MVP to the quarterback. If Jalen Hurts wins Super Bowl MVP, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to have to pay him $50 million a year. It's as simple as that. They're going to have to pay him $50 million. And I just don't think Jalen Hurts is worth it. If the Eagles lose this game, I think in large part it will be because the Kansas City Chiefs will force Jalen Hurts to make special plays and to beat them. How many times did Hurts do that this year? I didn't watch every Eagles game, but for the most part, every time I watched them play, they killed whoever they played. I could have quarterbacked them, and they would have won half those games. And so here's Jalen Hurts, who I think is a great leader. I think he's a hard worker. And I think he's tough. You know, I give Jalen Hurts all the credit in the world for the fact that he was the starter at Alabama. He got benched in the national championship game for Tua. Tua throws the touchdown pass to Devontae Smith, the first guy off the bench to jump up into Tua's arms was Jalen Hurts. He comes back the next year, competes for the job. We all knew after the national championship game, we all knew that there was no real shot Jalen was going to win that job. He doesn't. He sits on the bench, ends up having to come in the SEC championship game when Tua gets hurt, takes Alabama to the playoff, and then Tua returns. And then ultimately transfers to Oklahoma. He didn't quit. And we live in the society today where if a quarterback thinks he's supposed to play and he doesn't play in college, he leaves. So I have all the respect in the world for Jalen Hurts. But can the Philadelphia Eagles really pay him $50 million a year? This past season, the Eagles spent $215 million in cash on their team. That's $2 million less than the Titans did. Now, I don't know how the Titans ended up spending $217 million on their team, but the Eagles spent $215 million. So then let's say that the Eagles ballpark is $215 million, that's their budget on a yearly basis. You pay Jalen Hurts $50 million a year, you have two choices. Either you go up to a $265 million payroll, which would have been third this year and is up there with the Rams and the Bills and the Browns, or you pay other guys less. That's really how the NFL works. Forget about the cap, because every year I could spread out the signing bonus and convert it to a signing bonus, and the Eagles do that as much as anybody else does in the NFL. So this is the moment where Jalen Hurts has to earn the $50 million. And if he does, I don't think they're going to end up having a very good team. But again, what are you going to do? Guy wins Super Bowl MVP. Are you going to lowball him the next year? What's that going to say to your locker room? So I am fascinated by where Jalen Hurts is and where the Eagles are and what this game means for him and means for their franchise. Now, if he loses, he's still going to end up this offseason signing a franchise-level contract, probably in the $46 million a year range as opposed to the $55 or $50 million range. Because I don't know how you could pay Kyler Murray more money than Jalen Hurts. And yet, if he's Super Bowl MVP, the amount of hype that is going to come over Jalen Hurts and the amount of money that the Eagles are going to have to dedicate to pay Jalen Hurts in order to satisfy the fact that everybody will consider him an elite quarterback for winning Super Bowl MVP when I'm not going to say he's not, but I don't think he is going to be fascinating. And it's a lot like what happened with Tannehill when the Titans ended up signing him, and then all of a sudden you all think that that's why the Titans haven't had a good team. Is because, Tannehill takes too much of the money, which isn't necessarily true, but that's what a lot of people think. And so with Jalen Hurts, right now I think Jalen Hurts is the perfect quarterback on this team at $2 million. Put him at 50, can he be a $50 million player? Patrick Mahomes got the big money. Now, I don't know if it's that Clark Hunt, just writes the check every time, because he wouldn't write the check for Tyreek Hill. But it seems like the Chiefs always extend every good player that they have, and they tried to extend Hill. Hill just wanted more money after Christian Kirk signed for what he signed for. But Mahomes, you can take a bunch of nobodies, put them out there on the field with Patrick Mahomes, and it'd be fine. That's what elite quarterbacks are. Brady did it. Manning did it. It didn't matter that Edger and James moved on. The Colts found a way. I don't think you can do that with Jalen Hurts. And yet, if he wins, they're not going to have a choice. I like Jalen Hurts, the guy. I like how hard Jalen Hurts persevered after what happened at Alabama. I do. I appreciate everything that that man represents. And I think that Jalen Hurts is a perfect role model for how to deal with adversity and how to continue to do things with a smile and how to do things the right way. And I do think people like that should be rewarded. But I can't pay Jalen Hurts $50 million. Not only can I not pay Jalen Hurts $50 million, but I'm not going to pay Jalen Hurts $50 million. Because he's just not that good. I hate to say it, but a lot of people are going to get worked up. If the Eagles win, everyone is going to anoint Jalen Hurts as the next guy to ascend to the big boy group. The group that right now, Brady's out, so it's Mahomes, Allen, Burrow. I still think Rodgers is in there, and I always put Herbert in there too, because I just think Herbert's got total stoogery around him. They're going to want to put Jalen Hurts in that group. And they're going to say, he won a Super Bowl. He was Super Bowl MVP. I'm telling you, Jalen Hurts works because of what's around him. That's why it works. Now, he's still good. He's no schlub. He's no bum. And he doesn't cost that team games. But I can't pay Jalen Hurts $50 million. I would be glad to pay Joe Burrow $50 million if he was my quarterback. When Jalen Hurts misses a guy, he misses him by 5 feet. When Joe Burrow misses a guy, he hits him in the face mask with the ball. I'm not knocking Jalen Hurts. I'm just saying I can't pay him $50 million. Texter says, Justin, phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Jared, it's good to hear from CJ2K. It is sad that in his seasons, the Titans didn't do more because I feel like that is going to diminish his career, even though he was amazing, kind of like Barry Sanders. I like Chris Johnson. Now, I asked Chris Johnson if he had any regrets, because after the 2,000-yard season and after the contract stuff, Chris Johnson was never really the same player. And I look back on that and I wonder to myself, you know, would he have had regrets about that? And he said no regrets. And I do agree. I mean, I'm not going to say that he's as important as Steve McNair was when he was talking about the Ring of Honor, but I do think Chris Johnson is on the short list of players who, in the second era of Titans, have to be considered for those honors. I think Derrick Henry is in, and I think Kevin Byard is probably in, and I think Jarrell Casey should be in, and I think Delanie Walker's got an argument, and then I think there's Chris Johnson and Keith Bullock. And I think that's kind of the next wave of Titans that people should remember. Matt is up next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday here on Stillman & Company. Thank you for waiting. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Jared, I was just curious what your thoughts were for the Titans. Do you think they should trade for T. Higgins at all?
So everybody keeps bringing up T. Higgins. Thank you for your call, Matt. Everybody I've talked to here, I haven't heard a single person at the Super Bowl even hint at the idea that T. Higgins will be available. We talked to Jordan Schultz yesterday, the insider for The Score, and he was just saying, like, no, they're going to sign Higgins. They're going to sign Higgins, they're going to sign Chase, they're going to sign Burrow, and they're going to go from there. Even for a notoriously poor organization in Cincinnati. Oh, John Robinson drafting Isaiah Wilson ahead of T. Higgins. Oh, that one's tough. Texture says, maybe Amy Adams Strunk not only was infuriated by AJ spanking the goalpost with us, but only spent $2 million less than Philadelphia. That would be more infuriating to me if that was my money. Plus, looking at their starters through the draft versus the Titans, that's probably the reason it doesn't mean she should have done it in the middle of the season. I think that that is a long-winded, not correctly worded way of saying that Amy looks at the money that she spent on the team and saw the results and thought, I can't do better than that. And I agree. I mean, the one thing I'll say about Amy is that she has put her money where her mouth is when it comes to the team. They have spent money. The cap is fake, and the Titans screw with it every year, and they've been screwing with it, and they go over it, and they screw with it, and they went over it last year. The cap, yes, yes. And I do think she should be upset about that. Texter says, Jalen Hurts will probably win now. You put Burrow and Herbert on a pedestal and give them the Stillman curse. I don't think I'm the only one putting Joe Burrow on a pedestal. Maybe I'm a little bit different in regards to Justin Herbert. Maybe I like him more than everybody else, but I am not the only one that's doing that. 615-737-1025. Tony Khan, his dad owns the Jags. He's their chief football strategist, whatever the hell that means. Does that make him more important than the general manager? I know this. He's not getting fired. Plus, he's the president and CEO of AEW Wrestling. He will join us next, and I'm going to ask him about the Titans-Jags rivalry, Amy, everything else. We'll get to that coming up next. Hey, Preds fans, do you want to win tickets in the lower bowl section 102? Just text the keyword Superbook, all one word, to the game text line at 615-737-1025, and you will be entered to win. Win with 102.5 and 106.3 the game, and you can win with Superbook. Stillman & Company live on Radio Row, brought to you by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in the Richland Creek Shopping Center. Pay no money down and no interest for 1 year right now during their tax refund sale. Joined now by Tony Khan. He is the president and CEO of AEW, the all-new, what is that right there? All Elite?
All Elite Wrestling.
All Elite Wrestling, AEW, but also the chief football strategist for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tony, I know this. Your dad owns a team. You've been, you know, there ever since that's gone. To beat the Titans at the end of the season, you're going on the radio in Nashville now to make it to the playoffs. How big of a deal was that for the franchise, not only for Jacksonville to get back into the playoffs, but to do it by beating the Titans?
It was a huge win for the Jaguars. It's a great rivalry in the AFC South, but obviously The Jags have been looking for a win in Tennessee for a long time. The last time we won a game there had been 2013 when Will Blackman stripped the ball and ran it back for a touchdown, and it was Gus Bradley's first win ever as the coach of the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. So it was a big deal. And I was saying to Doug Peterson, Doug, it's been 10 years since I've been in this office and we won a game. And I've been here every game we've ever had. And what Doug Peterson's done for Jacksonville, for the organization, it's unbelievable. And obviously, I have so much respect for the Titans organization. I know Mike very well. I have a lot of respect for Mike Vrabel as a coach and as a friend of mine. And I think the Titans are on a great organization, and they've had so much success. And now the Jaguars, hopefully we can have some good success going forward too. Doug Peterson and Trent Baalke, what they've been able to do in the organization, it's incredible. And I work in analytics, and that's what I've been done in the NFL. I've actually been in the NFL since 2012, so it's pretty amazing now. Wow. Going into my 12th season in the NFL and working in stats and analytics the entire time. And that's been my main focus. And I have to say, the most analytics-focused coach I've ever worked with is Doug Peterson, and the most analytics-driven GM I've ever worked with is Trent Baalke. I think it dates back also to their previous times. In Philadelphia, you saw Doug Peterson really relying on analytics, making great decisions, often whether it was fourth down aggressiveness or two-point conversions. And Trent Baalke in San Francisco worked with one of the most analytics-driven front offices. And I think what we're seeing in Jacksonville is completely different than what we're used to.
How do you guys go about looking at the future, knowing you've got Trevor Lawrence at quarterback, but also, you know, now you're going to get a tougher schedule. You're going to get a first place schedule, which means you get Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen next year. And trust me, because the Titans have had to deal with that the last couple of years. How do you look at that and manage the expectations for a fan base that really feels like last year the team broke through?
Well, I think it's really important for the team to keep building off some success we had last year, and hopefully the team only gets stronger and we have more success going forward. And I think it comes from the hard work mentality, the leadership we have. Trevor Lawrence is a great leader on offense, and we have a lot of great players, young players on defense that have come in. And really what we have is a coaching staff that Doug's put together. I think they've done incredibly well in their first year, and to take a team that struggled as much as we had the previous several years and to win the AFC South and get to the AFC divisional playoff round, what Doug accomplished, it's amazing.
When did you feel like, Tony Khan's with us, when did you feel like not only Doug was going to be the right guy for Trevor Lawrence, but that Doug had turned kind of the mentality of the players and the organization? Because, again, covering the Titans, I've been watching the Jags for, you know, since 99. And I've seen a lot of times in the past couple of years where heads have gone down or it's here we go again. This year it wasn't like that.
No, that's true. And I think it's important to note the Jags coaching process last year really in national circles was questioned a lot. Sure. And it was a very long process. And it was one of the most savage attacks on a team. And to be fair, because we hadn't had success, I could see why people would feel that way. But during the process, I think what was fair to say is that we had really great, from the first time we met him, a great interaction with Doug Peterson. And Doug Peterson was the very first person we interviewed in the coaching process. And he was the last person we interviewed. We went out and did, I believe, about a dozen interviews and talked to different people all over the league with all different positions and wanted to really get a sense of the league and make sure, because it was so important to the Jaguars, this was the right hire. I felt really strongly from the first time we sat down in our home in Florida with Doug and Trent and my father and I. And it was a great conversation. We went out and we had a lot of conversations, talked to a lot of top minds in the NFL, including several people who are head coaches in this league now, or at least some more, and more who were last year. And I think Doug, at the beginning and the end, I thought, for your question, was probably the person who had the best credentials and the best chance to come in and build that relationship with Trevor and have that success with Trevor leading the offense and leading the team to great things.
You know, I used to work with an old general manager, Floyd Reese, who I guess knew your dad a little bit when you guys entered the league. And he told me years ago before he passed away, he told me, you know, Shad Khan loves his team. You know, that you know, he was saying he's made moves that sometimes I wouldn't have made, but, you know, everything that he does is because he wants to put a winning team on the field in Jacksonville. How hard was it for you guys not only to own the mistake with the Urban Meyer thing, but to make sure that you guys got it right with the quarterback that you have?
Well, the most important thing was to get it right for the team and the fans, and we have great players. We had a great quarterback that was going into his second year and a lot of great young players, mm-hmm. and then a great chance with the number one pick in the draft again.
Especially all those guys on defense.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched you guys play, and I see, you know, Josh Allen. He's a high first-round pick. Trayvon Walker. You know, he stripped sacks Tannehill in the first game, and people are mad at the left tackle in Nashville. And I said to myself, I go, that's the number one pick in the draft. You can't ask a backup left tackle to take on the number one pick in the draft. And so I look at a lot of the young players the Jags have, and then the free agent signings of Aluakon and, you know, Marvin Jones and Christian Kirk, and you guys got criticized on Christian Kirk. And yet, they seem to all pay dividends this year.
And also, to your point, with young players on defense, in addition to everything you said, which I completely agree with everything you said on offense and defense, I would also say on defense, high day two picks like Tyson Campbell mm-hmm. and Andre Sisco came in and made big contributions in the secondary. And so all across offense, defense, and special teams, I think Trent and Doug and our whole organization did a really good job evaluating players. And as an analytics group, my team and I really focused on trying to help Doug as best we can in game management, where Doug is already the best, and on player analytics, where Trent is super receptive in the decision making.
What is the relationship like with your dad and Amy Adams Strunk running the Titans?
Well, I think we're all close. We actually sit next to each other in the owners' meetings. The way the table's set up in the big league meeting, which is many times a year we meet. I actually, Amy and Kenneth and the group. You have a great group there, Adolfo. We all sit in the same room, obviously, for the league meetings. And when the owners group's together, we actually are sitting at the same table. And across the table, you have the Crafts and the Patriots at that table. And there's all 32. But so I see Amy, and my father sees Amy a lot. I think my dad and Amy have a great relationship. We all, in the NFL, the owners generally have great working relationships. And that's why, with everyone pulling together, the NFL is the greatest media business in the world.
You know, it's funny, I think this was before you guys got in, but Al Davis goes to an owner's meeting and says, boys, we have the best TV product in the world, don't screw it up. And that was kind of the vibe, and obviously you guys haven't. What is, Tony Khan's with us, what is the, from ownership, the level of respect that the league has for Amy Adams Strunk and what they've done with the Titans in terms of the draft in Nashville, building a new stadium in Nashville, you know, kind of that progress with the organization.
Great respect for Amy and what she has built with her family in Nashville. And, you know, we've seen it firsthand going there and playing every year and seeing Nashville every year, how it's developed. I travel every week for AEW also. I'm on the road every – I haven't had a Wednesday off since 2019 when we started.
I can see it in your eyes.
Well, it's going – you know, I love it. I do love it. And it's – you know, for me, working on football and wrestling every week and having Wednesday nights on TBS, Friday nights on TNT, and then being able to work on the NFL on the weekends, it's the greatest job in the world. And I used to work 80 hours a week at the Jaguars Stadium, mm-hmm. and now having a more analytics-driven coach and being able to go out on the road, and we have a great team that does a lot of the organization and analytics legwork that I would do, and I'm still in the office writing reports, but just not like 80 hours a week like I used to be because I'm touring for AEW too every week. Mm-hmm. It's great. And I think Amy has built something really special in Nashville. I see it firsthand, and the Titans are a big draw. I think the NFL is a big draw in every market it's in, and
sure.
the Titans have a big influence in the community, and they've done a great job with the organization, Amy and her leadership, and they have a great group with Kenneth and Adolfo, and I have a ton of respect for them.
So I do want to get to AEW in just a second, but I will say this. I am a Titans fan because I grew up, you know, in Nashville rooting for the Titans. I just want everybody to know that this upcoming season for the Jags, tougher schedule, and the Titans, with all their injuries, were still 2 minutes and 50 seconds away from just eking out the division. So what I will say is don't get too arrogant and think the Jags are going to walk right to it, because I think everybody in the media is going to write the Titans off and write the Jags. I think everybody in the media loves the Jags now, And I think that just I sense the Jags are going to be the hot pick this offseason by most everybody out there.
Am I giving off that vibe to you?
You're not.
Oh, good.
But you're not the media.
No, I know that. I mean, believe me, that's why I was saying before, if you look at how we were criticizing the search, I mean, Doug certainly, I think, is proven he's one of the best coaches in football, and we were criticized for taking our time in the process, but I think it was smart. We started with Doug, who certainly at the beginning we thought made all the sense in the world.
Criticized for the Christian Kirk contract.
Yeah.
You know, criticized for Travis Etienne when he was picked. You know, oh, is it a running back, and they already got James Robinson, and so all those things for sure. I do wonder, though, like, how do you manage the excitement of what the team did, but knowing that every year in the NFL, like, who thought the Packers weren't going to make the playoffs this year? You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's always surprising things that happen in the NFL. I think it's one of the most unpredictable things in the world, and I think that's what makes the NFL football product so great. And you see a story like the Jaguars coming up, going from the number one pick in the draft 2 years in a row to winning the AFC South and advancing in the playoffs. It was pretty amazing. And now there's going to be a lot of great talent in the AFC South, and I'm excited about this time of year. I was just in Mobile for the Senior Bowl, and now as we get ready for the Combine, I get a little bit more information to put into the models and do the draft research, and it's one of my favorite times of the year. And my favorite thing about draft season is on Saturday, I like to look for the undrafted free agents, and I've found some good players, I think, in the NFL, people who play for us now and also players that are on other teams in the NFL and have had a lot of success. Mike Hilton, I called up after the draft and signed for a pretty good deal. He didn't, and our coach didn't end up keeping him, but Mike Hilton's a very good player in the NFL now. And then, you know, with us right now.
So every time he makes a tackle in the backfield against you guys, you nudge Dad and say, hey. That's my guy, Mike Hilton.
If I
right
did
there.
That, no, believe me, if we did that every time there was an analytics player, whether it was a draft pick or anything, it, you know, you could talk. But my most important thing in life, whether it's football or wrestling or anything in life, is you really can't. You can learn from things in the past, but you also can't go back.
Sure.
So there's not. You can only lament things to the point where you're learning from them, not where you're kicking yourself.
Let's talk AEW. Tony Khan's with us.
Thanks.
Chief football strategist for the Jags. Let's talk AEW, where you're the president and the CEO. This thing has taken off.
Yeah.
You know, when you guys started the All Elite Wrestling, it's taken off. Nashville has become very big at attracting these kind of events. And I wonder, with the growth of AEW, where you see the next step being. I know you've already got your deal with TNT and TBS, but I do wonder what that next step is in terms of more exposure. And if you think about Nashville and all the times that you've been through there as perhaps being something that could work with AEW.
Yes, and we've been to Nashville several times. Mm-hmm. And when we run the shows there, it means a lot to me. We've run several times at the Municipal Auditorium, which is a historic building. And so many great artists. Even Elvis was there, as I get reminded every time, because in my office at the Municipal Auditorium that I, you know, I'm in regularly, I've got the Elvis sign and all the great merch up there. I love Nashville. I think it's one of the best wrestling markets. I'm a big fan and a student, long before I was a wrestling promoter, a historian of pro wrestling, and a student of it. And it's great working with so many great talents. I've always been a fan of, in particular, Mid-Southern Wrestling. The Jarrett Promotions went through Nashville, Memphis, Louisville. And I actually recently hired one of the great wrestlers, one of the great minds, and he's working in the front office, and he's a great wrestler for us every Wednesday on TBS and Friday on TNT. You may have heard of him, Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff is a
big Nashville guy.
Yes, big name in Nashville, big name everywhere in the world of wrestling and everywhere in the world of entertainment, but in particular, huge in Nashville, and certainly with the power of AEW and now Jeff in the front office and his connections and Jeff smashing people with that guitar in the ring. Who knows what could happen in Nashville?
I think it's awesome. I think you guys have really expanded on a market with AEW that maybe was even underserved. What do you think kind of the next step is for AEW?
Oh, it's a really exciting time for us. We've, you know, got 2 hours every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central on TBS, and we're on 9 p.m. Central every Friday night on TNT. And with the great growth and reach of the audience, I think what we need to do is keep it up and keep building it. We do pay-per-view events. We have March 5th on pay-per-view, Sunday, March 5th in San Francisco. Revolution at the Chase Center is going to be a huge show. Nashville has been a great town for live events, TV, We have really, I think it's important to reach out to local markets, big towns like Nashville and all over the country where we can grow the TV audience and grow the live event business. We do great with online merchandising. We have a video game coming out very soon. Action figures, a huge revenue stream for us. Multi-million dollar sales in action figures in every Walmart in the country. And
you don't do boredom very well, do you?
No, I love it. I love it. We haven't even talked about him, the general manager of a very successful Premier League franchise.
I mean, I just listening to all this stuff, I'm like, do you ever sleep? What do you, I mean?
I love the work, and I love the stuff I'm working on. And the Jaguars and Fulham and AEW are really, like, you know, like children to me. I love them.
So if I ask you, would you rather have, you know, a Premier League championship or a Super Bowl or that AEW becomes the number one wrestling league in the world, would you be able to pick?
I want them all, and I think that child analogy is so good because it's like my, you know, you'd hate you. It's like picking between having great success for only one of your three children. But I want all three to be very successful, so I'd like them all.
Tony, thank you so much for stopping by. I enjoy that the Titans-Jags rivalry, it feels like it's back on, you know, the way it's been over the years.
When I was a kid, it was the biggest rivalry in football. I mean, when the Titans made the Super Bowl, certainly the Jaguars-Titans rivalry, and of course, Tom Coughlin, who I've worked with for years, and I know Tom so well and love and respect and admire. Tom had great battles with Jeff Fisher's Titans teams when I was a kid, and it's great seeing that rivalry back, and now with two great coaches, Mike Vrabel and Doug Peterson.
And I'll say this, like that game at the end of the year, I think that's good for football. You know what I mean? Like, I know that, you know, it would be Cowboys and, you know, Packers. But I think having two teams that, you know, are I think we can say, like, you know, not treated like the premier franchises in terms of the attention. But to have that game and that national, that was a playoff game. And I think the attention was on the game. I thought it was a well-played game. I thought it was an exciting game that came right down. I thought that game was great for the NFL.
Well, like I said, I think that it's an exciting time, and I grew up on that rivalry, and it, you know, it was at one point certainly in the AFC the rivalry in football, and hopefully we can get back to where it's that way again, where Jaguars-Titans could be the rivalry, and I know for the Jaguars we want to take it to the next level. Tom Coughlin had that great year in 1999 and went 14-2, and that was certainly one of the great years. I think this past year for the Jaguars is one of the very successful years in the franchise, and what Doug Peterson and the people around him are doing, it's amazing, and I have so much I could probably talk for hours about how grateful I am for what Doug Peterson's done for Jacksonville, but I agree with you. I think it's good for the NFL that Jaguars-Titans can be a good rivalry again in the AFC South.
Good luck next season, just not too much.
Thank you, sir. Same to you.
And I know, before you get out of here, Tony, AEW tonight, right, TNT. Tell them about it.
Yeah, we got a big show, Friday Night Rampage on TNT tonight. Some of the biggest wrestlers in AEW, some of the biggest names, including Jon Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli.
What are their nicknames?
Well, those two are the Blackpool Combat Club. You have Jungle Boy in action tonight, Ruby Soho, and Orange Cassidy defending the All-Atlantic Championship on AEW Rampage tonight. It'll be on at 9 o'clock on TNT. It'll be a great show. We also have Dynamite every Wednesday night on TBS. That's on at 7 o'clock on TBS, but we're on tonight on TNT. Thanks for having me on to talk all football and letting me plug the wrestling. I really appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, Jer.
More Stillman & Company live from Radio Row, presented by Social Furniture, right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman & Company live on Radio Row, brought to you by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in the Richland Creek Shopping Center. Pay no money down and no interest for 1 year right now during their tax refund sale. Joined now by Adoree Jackson, current Giants corner, former Titans corner here on 102.5 in Nashville. So, Adoree, first off, congratulations on the season that the Giants had. I want to go back to you as a Titan when you were drafted in the first round and kind of the success the team had building it up to what it became in the AFC Championship game and the season after that, and now seeing it kind of go down a little bit. I kind of wonder what your thoughts are of how the team ascended when you were there and why that happened.
I think that we, you know, just played for one another, played for each other. I think that was one of the great things. A lot of people don't know that second year before we start having the success in the playoffs, we don't make it in 2018. And then 2019 AFC Championship, 2020, you know, winning the South and being the number one seed. well, getting home field advantage. And, you know, the year after I was gone, but, you know, still having that success and playing at home. So I think that they do a great job of playing for one another, playing mm-hmm. for each other, being in the moment and understanding that games are going to be tough, but it's what you do throughout the course of the game. It doesn't matter what happened in the first quarter. It's about playing for 60 minutes, and I feel like the Titans do a great job with that.
What did you make of kind of your exit there with you and Vrabel and the team and where you were and where the team was?
I just think that was part of the journey, mm-hmm. just how, you know, the Lord had it written for me. So I didn't think too negative or harshly on it. You know, it was crazy when I got the call that I was getting released. I told my mom, and she just asked me, was I okay? And I told her, like, I'm fine. Like, you know, the Lord has something, you know, in plan. And I wasn't worried or stressed. And then when I said that, she seemed more relieved. And I felt like she was just trying to see, you know, my temperature and how I was. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's just pretty much how I went. And, you know, I was still rooting for him. Always do. There's a lot of my guys still over there, KB, Derek, Jeff. So to see the success, you know, those guys continue to have, it's always nice to see.
Adoree Jackson's with us. You played with Tannehill. You played against Tannehill. What do you make of him as a quarterback?
A guy that gets the job done. I feel like he's a guy that can affect the game in different ways, can throw the ball, and can run, which a lot of people probably don't know as much if you don't really watch the Titans play. But he is, I would say, a dual threat. He does his job at a high level.
Do you think he gets too much criticism?
I think a lot of people in this league get too much criticism, but that's just the game we play.
Like, man, your quarterback, Daniel Jones. People were criticizing him. They said he was no good, and then all of a sudden, new coach comes in, and now everybody says, Daniel Jones might make $45 million a year now.
I pray he does. I pray he gets everything he deserves. But I feel like, you know, like I said, that's just the league that we play in and just the nature of the game, you know. Everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to love you. But at the end of the day, just go out there and work.
Do you miss the Titans and, like, the bond that those guys had?
Yeah, I miss those guys that I've grown to know. I was there for 4 years, so I built a relationship with them. I see them 8 hours throughout the day. Those are my guys. You know, I call my brothers. And so I do miss a lot of them not there anymore, but I do miss a few that I've played with.
What do you think about Vrabel as a coach? Adoree Jackson's with us.
I feel he's a great coach, honestly. I feel like somebody asked me about this the other day. I feel he knows how to win regardless of the situation. You can take account where I didn't even know they had like 91 people on IR that did that little that crazy skit, you know, during the game. And it goes to show that no matter the people that play, he always finds a way to plug and play and make sure that they get the job done and understand. So I think he's a great coach, and I mean, you see he has a lot of success.
Last one for you. When I was in London, your dad was part of the same group that I was part of.
Uh-huh.
Your dad was the class clown of the entire London
trip.
I mean, I would just send a message back to your dad.
Yeah.
He came up to me on the elevator and said, hey, come contract time on the radio. You guys, I said, I'm the wrong guy to talk to. The Titans don't ever listen to anything that I say. But be sure to give your dad my best.
I will.
Is there any product, anything you would tell all the people about?
So the product I would tell you about is Porch Pals. It's an insurance-based for your packages that are items that can't be signed for them that a lot of people steal. You know, I had my experience with theft of a package that I tried to get my dad. It's funny that you mentioned him. And the only other thing that I would lead off to the people in Tennessee or Nashville, I would say, would be thank you. I appreciate, you know, everything that they've done for me, you know, all the love and support, and wish you guys nothing but the best.
Adoree, good to see you, man.
Yeah, good to see you. Yes, yep. Sir.
More Stillman & Company live from Radio Row, presented by Social Furniture, right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
I think he's deserving of it for sure. He works extremely hard, as you know, at his profession. He works hard to be the best. He tries to help our team be the best. He says it every day when he comes into practice, into the huddle, let's be great today. And he lives that. And my hat goes off to him for that. Very proud of him for it, the way he goes about his business.
That was Andy Reid talking about Patrick Mahomes. Again, two-time league MVP. And Mahomes looking to win his second Super Bowl, playing in his third on Sunday, or as this little countdown clock here at Radio Row has right in front of me, 2 days, 39 minutes, and 5 seconds from right now, we will be kicking off for Super Bowl 57. Now, I want to say this. I had Jason Anderson on earlier today, who does the middays in Kansas City. I used to work with him in Louisville. And the fact that this is the third Super Bowl, Mahomes has been the quarterback for 5 years. They've had five home AFC championship games. I've been thinking about comparing that to what's happened with the Patriots for the 20 years that they had Brady and all the winning that they did. And the one thing I'm going to say is this. I do not think in my lifetime that the Tennessee Titans will ever have a run like the Patriots had for 20 years. In my lifetime, I never think the Titans will have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. I remember years ago, Mariota got his first career start against Tampa Bay, and his stats were something like 14 for 18 for 235 and four touchdowns. It was the best career starter in the history of the NFL. And I remember coming on the air the Monday after the Titans beat the Buccaneers and saying, what if this is their Tom Brady? What if this is their Aaron Rodgers? What if this is their Peyton Manning? What if this is the guy? And now where we sit today, I'm just here to tell all of you, I don't think it's ever going to happen. I just think some franchises are built certain ways. I think the Titans will win the game with running the ball in defense. And I just don't think that they're ever going to have that kind of guy. But if they ever do, I will not take it for granted. I will not be in year seven of a 13, 14, 15-year dynasty thinking to myself and saying, oh, man, this, you know, it'd be better if they had Jimmy Garoppolo as quarterback. I will not do that because I am so jealous. I am so jealous of the fact that the Titans are not at the Super Bowl. And I keep thinking about what this weekend is like, everybody was, and everything else. And I keep thinking about how it's been 23 years since the Titans have been in the Super Bowl. And you can get to the Super Bowl. I think the Eagles are an example of this. You can get to the Super Bowl with a good team, with a good quarterback once. But you're not going to go back every year. You're not going to be in contention every year. The Chiefs are going to be in contention every year. The Bills, with their quarterback, even though they haven't won, even though they haven't gotten to the Super Bowl, the Bills are in contention every single year. They're in contention. The Patriots were in the AFC Championship game, or at least the division round of the playoffs, almost every year of the Brady era, except for a couple, including one where the Titans ended up beating them. And this is a long-winded way of saying that Cincinnati is going to be back in there, but that's it. Like Cincinnati, Kansas City, Buffalo, those teams are going to be there. And I just know that that's how it's going to be and that I have to be okay with that. You have to be okay with that. And we all have to hope that 1 year the Titans will be able to find their way into the playoffs, get on a nice little run, and have things go their way and get to one Super Bowl and hopefully win it. Just like if Philadelphia doesn't do the deal Sunday, they're probably not going to be back here next year. Kansas City will be. So you have two choices. Either the Titans end up with that quarterback one day, or you can be like me and just hope that 1 year they can put it all together and steal that Super Bowl. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. So Joel and Woodbury, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Joel and Woodbury says, please bring AEW to Nashville. You know, I heard Tony Khan talking about that, the AEW stuff. And I know, again, I guess they're on TNT and TBS. And I know people love wrestling. I don't. But what I do know is I know that a lot of you do. And that would mean money in everybody's pocket, which I am pro. So sure, go ahead and bring it to Nashville and Municipal Auditorium and everything else. Nick says, what about Lamar? Do I think he's one of those guys? No, I don't. How many AFC Championship games has Lamar Jackson played in? And it's not like Lamar Jackson's had bad teams. He had a 14-2 team and didn't get to the AFC Championship game. The Chiefs have been to the AFC Championship game 5 years in a row. There is a difference between those guys. Peyton Manning in Indianapolis, they didn't go to the AFC Championship game every year, but they were there pretty much almost every year. No, Lamar Jackson is not one of those guys. Just like I don't think Drew Brees was one of those guys when he was in New Orleans. And Drew's a Hall of Famer, but he wasn't one of those guys. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. Chad Withrow, Outkick 360, always joins us on a Friday at 5 o'clock. He is going to join us live right here from Radio Row at Super Bowl 57, and he will do that next. Stillman and Company on 1025-1063 The Game. This year, FanDuel Sportsbook, my official sportsbook app. In fact, I'm going to the FanDuel party tonight. I guess the Killers are playing tonight at the FanDuel party. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Download FanDuel now and use the promo code JGM so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. It's a lot of money. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads and who will score a touchdown. For me, Kenneth Gainwell is going to score a touchdown. And over on rushing yards for Kenneth Gainwell. Trust me. All on a top-rated sportsbook app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today with the promo code JGM to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57 and make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager. Only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issue is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789.